Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Does it get any better than this? I think not. Brian Sussman here behind the Michael Savage microphone. What a great opportunity. What a great honor. So glad to be with you. So glad to have you on the Savage Nation. Phone number 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Little background. I get the opportunity to fill in for the good doctor from time to time. Michael Savage and I have been friends for many, many years. I host the morning show on his flagship station, KSFO in San Francisco, where Michael started his broadcast in the mid-90s. And really, he was the founding member of this radio station. I remember when he was a local host in San Francisco, and he literally turned San Francisco talk radio on its head. It was just amazing. I was there to behold all of this. And then, of course, he went nationwide, and it's just a pleasure again to get behind this microphone. Gee, it's not like there's nothing to talk about. Something about a debate last night. Something about a presidential race. Something about two socialists running on the other side. Something about a Republican Party that's about to implode and commit suicide. Something about that. Well, let's talk about it. We've got sound from the debate last night, and we will get to all of that. And we'll get to your calls, as I mentioned, 855-400-SAVAGE. Don't forget to go to savagenation.com. Actually, michaelsavage.com. That's the home of the Savage Nation, michaelsavage.com. And you can order Dr. Savage's ebook, Diseases Without Borders. And, of course, this Michael Savage, the Dr. Savage Facebook page on Twitter, at A Savage Nation. I've just tweeted out a photograph of myself behind the microphone here so you can get an idea of who the heck I am. So we're ready. We're ready. But is the Republican Party ready? That's the question. Is the Republican Party ready? You know, the Republican Party. On my morning show this morning on KSFO, I was talking about how Michael for years has been calling them the Democans and Republicrats. The Democans and Republicrats. Because at the end of the day, listen, these are people who crave power. The party elites, the establishment, they crave power. They love the nightlife. They love the boogie. They love all of that, right? These are the people who are going to be without a job if certain people get elected president. If you know what I mean. Hint, hint, wink, wink, nod, nod. I come to the microphone. I'm going to be an observer today. For the next 3 hours, I'm just an observer, okay? I'm an observer. And I'll tell you what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a Republican Party that's clueless. And many of you do as well. See, that's what's happening in this election cycle. It's like no other I've ever witnessed. I'm not the oldest guy in the world, but I'm just telling you, I've never seen anything like this before. Let's look at the Republicans. They have the Senate. They have the House. Would you even know it? Look how they operate these operations. Have they done anything to stop Obama and his agenda over the last 8 years? If they have, throw me some bones. Tell me what I'm missing here. I don't see it. I don't see it. And the Democrats, do you really think they have any respect for the Republican Party whatsoever? Listen, they do at the local level and at the state level. The Republican Party is solid in many of the states. But at the national level, are you kidding me? The Republican Party to be taken seriously? The Republican Party to be feared? I think not. What do the Democrats do? They just don't want to level the playing field. They want to obliterate the playing field. And that's why they're fearful about one man, Donald Trump. No, the Democrats. Sure they are. Sure they are. And that's why the party elites, the establishment, are fearful of one man, Donald Trump. I suppose to a lesser extent they're fearful of Ted Cruz as an observer. Ted Cruz, I mean, he is somewhat of an outsider. I know he's been a bureaucrat and politician his whole life. I get that. I do. But he's not known for having many friends on Capitol Hill. And that bothers the party elite very, very much. But at the end of the day, they're all afraid of Trump getting the nomination. Now, I've said this. I'm sure Michael said it. I know others have said it. But I know on my morning radio show in San Francisco, I've said it many times. I really believe that the establishment of the GOP, the elites of the GOP, they would rather have Hillary win than Trump win, because it will totally upset their apple cart. Big time. Big time. And to a lesser extent, Ted Cruz. But with Trump, oh my God, what's going to happen? And then look what we have yesterday. Romney come. They trot out Romney. I don't know what that was all about. I really don't. But I can tell you this. If he would have talked that tough about Obama when he was running in 2012, when a certain Donald Trump was supporting him, by the way, he might be president now. So is Romney their safety valve? Are they looking for another candidate to present at a brokered convention? Because you know that's their hope. Are they thinking about a third party? Listen, you go brokered convention, what's going to happen to all of the people who have supported Trump to this point? They're going to be so PO'd. Do you really think they're going to vote for your guy? Do you really think that? No, they're not. You're going to hand this one over to Hillary. But perhaps that's what the party elites within the GOP want. They'd like to hand it over to Hillary if their other choice is Trump. And to a lesser extent, Cruz. Seriously. Because I'm just telling you, if someone gets in there that is anti-establishment, the Reince Priebuses of the world, the various consultants that they hire, all the big wigs, they may indeed be without a job. Just thinking off the top of my head, folks, talking out loud, which is what we do behind the radio microphone. So this is where we are. The GOP. You know, in the GOP and on the left, it's clear that the anti-Trump forces are now trying to drive a wedge between Trump supporters and Trump. They really are. You know, they're never going to figure it out. They're never going to figure this out. I think they look at Trump supporters as people that are just throwing a little tantrum. But it's more than just a tantrum. What's going on here? What's happening with this Trump phenomenon? What's happening with this Trump movement? And if I may say so, just to be fair, looking at his observer, what's up with Ted Cruz? What's going on here? It's the establishment in the crosshairs. And may I just say, when it comes especially to Donald Trump, the Trump supporters, I will just move Cruz out of the way. When it comes to the Trump supporters, this isn't about who's the most conservative. It's not. It's about who is best able to disrupt the establishment. That's why Trump has massive support. The support that no one thought he would have from the very beginning. He says this, oh, that'll be the end of him. He does this, oh, that'll be the end of it. He has this policy statement, that's going to be the end of him. It's not. He has massive support that is class-based, class-related. It's economic. It's religious. It is people who have had it, not just for the past 8 years, but for the past 16 years. Let's even go back another 24. They've had it over the last 24 years. Promises. Statements. Wars. Recessions. Financial crises. TARP bailout. Stimulus. Oh, it was all supposed to make the world and the United States a better place. It didn't. No crisis was stopped. They're sick of it. And the establishment has made a mess of it. That is what I believe is going on with this Trump phenomenon. As an observer, just looking at the lay of the land here, and the GOP doesn't get it, or else they do. Or else they do. And they realize this has got to be stopped because they're out of a job. If they don't stop this, they're out of a job. And, you know, it's been amazing. What we should be focusing on at this point in time, think about this. I watched the debate last night. I watched the debate. Trump is a master of the television medium. I mean, he had his own TV show. He had his own TV company. He's been on TV off and on over the years as guests on shows, et cetera, et cetera. He's very comfortable on stage. Doesn't need a teleprompter. Knows what he has to do to get camera time. He has taken Cruz and Rubio out of their game. Cruz especially, a gentleman. Trump more of a street fighter. 2016, people want a street fighter. And what has Trump done? He's forced Cruz to get out of his gentlemanly game. And look what was happening last night. Breathe, breathe, yoga. Come on, man. And Rubio, well, he's good at memorizing lines. He got out of his game really quick as well. It doesn't work well for them when they're playing on his turf his kind of game. I'm just telling you something. Gunfights, they're bringing knives. Knife fights, they're bringing, I don't know, toothpicks. It's not working. But what our focus should be on is Hillary. What our focus should be on is how Obama has wrecked this country over the last 8 years. You know, it's interesting, isn't it? People are going after Trump. Oh, David Duke, he won't disavow David Duke. I mean, the leftist media, he won't disavow David Duke. I sure wish they would have had this kind of tone. Why won't he disavow Reverend Wright? Rashid Khalidi, Bill Ayers, right on down the line. We've got a lot to talk about. I'm just getting started, and it's so glad to be here behind this microphone on this Michael Savage's program. Again, the phone number, 855-400-SAVAGE. It is the Savage Nation, Brian Sussman filling in.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUYCO.
Brian Sussman, filling in for my buddy, Dr. Michael Savage. I just made a statement in the opening segment, if you're just joining us, that in 2016, it's clear America wants a street fighter. They don't want a gentleman. They want a street fighter. They want someone who talks tough. They want a street fighter. And my Twitter handle is @Brian_Sussman, and I've got people quoting me on Twitter saying, you're right, people want a street fighter. For better or for worse, that's what they want. We don't want a metrosexual. We've got that. We don't necessarily want a gentleman. Plenty of those guys have run already. I mean, there's one gentleman I highly respect, and I financially contributed to his campaign, and that's Dr. Ben Carson. But such a gentleman, not very charismatic, a very, very wise man, but look what happens. Goes by the wayside. John Kasich. I have a brother who lives in Cleveland. And my brother tells me, no, he's done a very good job as governor of this state, but lacks the charisma. Last night during the debate, he called himself the only adult in the room. Well, can I tell you something? Trump knows how to manipulate the media. In fact, if you read Art of the Deal, and I have, that's one of the things he talks about, the ability to manipulate the media. And he's able to do that. And they don't understand that. And they keep saying with each comment he makes, oh, he's finished. Oh, it's over. He'll never make it. He can't. It just keeps going because people want a street fighter. They want a brawler who they believe is going to work for him. It's not about being the most conservative in this election, according to the people that in droves are voting for Trump. It's about turning upside down the establishment. So with that in mind, let's go to the lines. And we will bring in Greg Albany, Dave in Albany, WGDJ. Dave, how you doing? Thanks for calling the Savage Nation. Brian Sussman filling in.
Hey, Brian, doing a great job there. I'm a New Yorker. I'm 50 years old. I'm a patriot. I'm a former veteran and everything. I love America. I've always liked Trump. Being around, even though I'm not right next to New York City, we all know about Trump, and he's really popular up here. Exactly like you said, we want a fighter, not this wimp. I would join the Navy, and I was in a fighter squadron. The commanding officer was this great guy, kind of like a Trump type of guy. Obviously a little bit younger, but had that charisma, that unspoken quality. And I just recently called him after 30 years of being out of the Navy, roughly, and just thanked him for just being that person, you know. And that's, I think women don't really understand sometimes that men look at other men, even though we're not looking for another father later in life. We just like seeing some sort of set of balls and some sort of a leader. You know, we all respond to that in some way. And I do, even though I'm a grown man. I still think of Trump like a father figure.
Mm-hmm. It's really true. And I appreciate your call, Dave. Thanks for checking in. People love great leaders. And they love leaders who motivate, right? They love leaders who have led and done things, lead by example. And in Trump's particular case, you know, he has built businesses, plural. He has employed thousands of people. We've all known about him for years. People want that kind of leadership. I'm looking at the remaining candidates. Okay, Kasich has led in terms of government service as a governor, but not in private enterprise. Marco Rubio led the Florida legislature, but he's never done anything in private enterprise. Ted Cruz has never worked outside of government other than on some campaigns. He's basically been a lifelong bureaucrat and now politician. People right now are saying, no, I want somebody who's made stuff, built stuff, knows how to lead, has written books on leadership and on how to do deals. That's what we see before our very eyes. Like it or not, friends, that's what's happening right now. So let's continue, and this is Lisa on WABC. Lisa, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation. Brian Sussman filling in.
Hi, Brian. Thank you so much for taking my call. You're doing an excellent job in the absence of Mr. Savage. I'd like to talk about the debate last night and Mr. Romney. The only conclusion I could come to is the reason why the Republican Party is fearful of Mr. Trump is because he's funding his own campaign. He continues to say that. The other people are not. They're taking money from the donors. And who knows how much money they're taking and who knows where that money is going. I'm sure it's going overseas in the Cayman Islands. So when Mr. Trump gets into office, all this has to stop because, you know, he's going to see it. And as far as Mr. Romney, he's also a politician like the Republicans. And he also is taking money. And who knows who's funding him and who's giving him money or threatening him and putting a gun behind his back, making him make a fool out of himself and a liar. Because if you look at the videotapes that they have in the past in 2012, he's praising Mr. Trump to high heaven.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's incredible. We have that audio. We'll play it. And thank you for calling, Lisa. No, money's the mother's milk of politics, isn't it? And Trump certainly has used that to his own benefit by essentially buying off all these politicians over the years, so he knows how that game is played. Got more to come, including, are you ready for this? El Chapo entered the United States twice after his prison break. Borders, language, culture, Savage Nation. Brian Sussman filling in for Dr. Michael Savage. Pleasure to be behind this microphone. So we're going to get to El Chapo in just a moment.
El Chapo.
We'll get to El Chapo in just a moment. Get your calls as well on the program. Some of the other headlines in the news. So Jim Webb, remember him? He was the former Democrat presidential candidate who they allowed in the club. And what a club that is. You know, let's train our attention on the real enemy right now, and that's what's going on the other side of the aisle. The Democrat National Committee, what a racket. I mean, this whole thing's set up for Hillary to win. They allowed Bernie to come in because, you know, they needed to make Hillary look more moderate. Do you really think, what's going to happen to the Bernie supporters? Once Bernie gets cleared out of the way by Hillary, do you really think they're going to turn around and vote for Hillary? Voter enthusiasm on the Democrat side is already really low right now. This is only going to cause more to sit on their hands. They'll be so steamed. They put so much time and energy. Some people getting ready to vote for the first time for Bernie. Free college, yes! So the others that they led on the stage included Jim Webb. I didn't really even know who Jim Webb was. But I remember people saying, that guy should be, maybe he should be running as a Republican. Anyway, he said he would not vote for Hillary. This is on MSNBC. He has not ruled out voting for Trump, just like a lot of Democrats who are steamed and fed up. It's kind of like the what they used to call the Reagan Democrats. Well, they got maybe the Trump Democrats now. Speaking of Trump, he was going to appear at CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference. He canceled his Saturday speech. A lot of people at CPAC really upset. Here's my thought on CPAC. I mean, Cruz will be there, Marco Rubio will be there, Kasich will be there, Ben Carson's going to be there. But Trump's not going to be there. Instead, he's going to be campaigning. He's going to be in Orlando, Florida, and he's going to be in Kansas. Said he'd like to be there next year as president. But, you know, you really are, let's be realistic, CPAC, it's the devoted. You're talking to the devoted of the highest persuasion. These are the conservatives' conservatives. It's, you know, you go to a campaign event in Orlando or Kansas, you're going to be able to talk to a much broader audience as opposed to a very narrow audience at CPAC. I'm just saying. Some of you may love CPAC and you want to go there. I've never been. Don't intend on going there anytime soon. But, you know, for those who are really into it, that's the place to be. We also have, in terms of just some other headlines, we've got the Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau, saying he would appreciate it if Americans paid more attention to what's going on around the globe. I agree. Talk to the younger generation. Hey, we know all about Kanye. Woo-hoo! Got the latest app for my phone, man. Do I know how to work the system or what? Yeah, they should pay attention to the globe. San Bernardino. I get sick of the media referring to these terrorists down there as the shooters. No, they were Islamic terrorists. Anyway, they're saying there may be some clues to an unconfirmed third shooter that many of us have been talking about for the longest time. And then there's El Chapo. El Chapo. So you know who El Chapo is, right? That's the drug lord, the guy that has escaped prison a couple of times now. This is a murderous thug who has ruined the lives of many through drugs. Anyway, a little article here in The Guardian, they're talking about, now see, this speaks to everything Michael Savage has been talking about, borders, language, culture. It speaks to everything Donald Trump has talked about regarding building a wall. Building a wall. According to his wife, this guy, after his escape from prison, when there was a manhunt going on, an international manhunt going, he came into the United States twice. He came into the United States twice. This is according to, I guess according to his daughter, right? So he came into the United States twice. He came in to visit family and to see his daughter's house in California. She says her father crossed the border in late 2015 to visit relatives and to view her home, a five-bedroom house with a large garden, which he bought for her and her four children. She granted, by the way, this interview with the garden on condition that its location not be disclosed. My dad, she said, deposited the money in a bank account with a lawyer, and a while after he came to see the house, his house, he came twice. This guy was able to slip in the United States twice. One of the most wanted men on the planet. Now, you think he's the only one? Do you really think he's the only one? Do you see why when Trump says we're going to have a wall and it's going to be a beautiful wall and people will be able to come out, come in and out illegally, but they're going to pay for it? Do you understand how that resonates with people today in light of the story I just told you? But instead, last night we had the food fight. We had the food fight. Let's play clip number four. Here's Cruz to Trump. By the way, it was I like what Drudge called it, the Cuban sandwich. You had Rubio on one side and Cruz on the other. Here's Cruz to Trump. Oh, count to ten. Breathe, breathe. Listen to this.
If we nominate Donald, we're going to spend the spring, the fall, and the summer with the Republican nominee facing a fraud trial.
Oh, stop
with
it.
Hillary Clinton saying, case. Why it's did you give case. My campaign and my foundation $100,000?
It's a minor civil
case. And with Hillary Clinton pointing out that he supported her four times in her presidential race.
It's a minor civil case.
Donald, learn not to interrupt.
There are many, many civil cases.
Count to ten, Donald. Count to ten. Count to ten.
Count to ten. Then we had the yoga line. And Rubio's trying to get in to mimic the same thing. That was the problem. See, I believe Trump drew Rubio and Cruz in to get out of their comfort zone and out of their regular game so that they could essentially mimic lines. Whatever Cruz said, Rubio could have said. Whatever Rubio said, Cruz could have said. They weren't able to distinguish themselves, and that's why I believe all the polls show that Trump won. He's got this game mastered. He's got this game mastered. Now, the question is, what's going to happen down the line here? If Trump continues to roll the way he's rolling and comes into the nomination with the lion's share, what's going to happen? Will all these Republicans who, you know, they pledged, they made their pledge, oh, they'll support the nominee, are they really going to support him? Or are they going to go for a brokered convention? Because, again, as we talked about in the early portion of this hour, I believe the elites, the establishment elites, the people running the party would rather see Hillary win than Trump. I really do. If Hillary wins, they've all still got their jobs. And then they'll blame it on the voter. See, all you rubes, all you rednecks, all you, you're the problem. You're the problem. That's why we got Hillary. They'll turn around and they'll blame it on the people. And they'll keep their jobs. But folks, at the end of the day, we've got to unify here. Because the stakes are huge. Hillary gets in there, she's going to take what Obama did and just continue to ratchet it up. Let's go to the lines on the Savage Nation. Brian Sussman filling in, by the way. Greg, WJR. Greg, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Brian. Hey, look, I'm a Cruz supporter. And, you know, Trump threw a little mud his way, and he's thrown a little bit back. But at the end of the day, I think Cruz is the best guy. Now, that being said, I'm also not an idiot. Now, Trump will get my vote because what's happened to us, the electorate, is we've received a giant middle finger from Washington, D.C. for many years. And so I think that Trump would be a representation of a middle finger from the electorate towards Washington, D.C. You see, so Cruz or Trump both stick in the craw of the Republican and Democrat monopoly that goes on in Washington, D.C. See, they've got a monopoly, and they don't want any outsiders coming in and screwing that up for them.
Or, as Ted Cruz calls it, the Washington cartel. And that's a great description, by the way.
Absolutely. Or you could call them a cabal or La Cosa Nostra. You know, it's a crime family down there. So thanks for taking my call.
All right, Greg. Great show. Thanks for checking in on the Savage Nation. Right on. So let's talk about this ruling class for just a moment. I mean, it really is amazing. I've written a couple books. One of them, they were my background, just for, so you know, is meteorology. And wrote a couple books on climate change. I'm not a believer. You can just look up my name, Brian Sussman. You'll find out about the books. But I make the link between climate change and communism. I'm not kidding you. I contend, through my research and the arguments I make in my books, that it was Karl Marx and especially Vladimir Lenin. Lenin took what Marx wrote as his disciple and was able to, you know, take charge of a country. And he became the environmentalist. He was the first environmentalist. And these people have known from the beginning that they could use the environment, they could use ecology as their greatest key to unlock the doors of global socialism, communism. But the establishment Republicans believe exactly what Karl Marx believed in terms of his laws of matter, the laws of matter. And I can sum up the laws of matter for you very, very succinctly. Essentially, it boils down to this. Certain people are born with a better brain than others. And of those people who have the better brain, they have some sort of responsibility to rule over those with the lesser brain, lest those with the lesser brain kill themselves and destroy the planet. That's how the elites look at us. You know, just not as smart as us. They need heavy-handed regulations. They need lots of laws. We need to keep them in their place. Otherwise, they will destroy the planet and kill all of us. And the Republican establishment, they're the same way. Oh, come on. Some of these Republicans, you know, they'll give lip service to the evangelicals, but they roll their eyes as soon as you talk about Jesus. As soon as you talk about, you know, I'm going to vote the way Jesus would have me to vote, they roll their eyes. Oh, but they'll give you lip service because they know they need you as a voting block. It's the same thing I believe with the second. Those damn rednecks with their guns. Okay, we'll give them what they want because they're a voting block. That's how I see the establishment. And so, again, getting back to what I was saying earlier to cap off the program here in the Savage Nation, this particular election isn't about, well, we love the Constitution. Yes, We don't love it the way the Democrats do. They see it as a living, breathing document. We see it as a document that's set in stone. Okay, so we totally respect and honor the Constitution. And we see the world through a conservative lens. We really do. It's not an ideological lens. It's a lens based upon history. What has worked, what doesn't work, what, you know, that kind of a thing, right? While all that's important, this election is a little different, or maybe a lot different, in that it's about disrupting the establishment. It's a revolution, folks. That's what we have right now. I want to take your calls. We've got a lot of calls that need to be taken at this point in time, and we will. Brian Sussman filling in on this, The Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America.
Brian Sussman filling in for Michael Savage. We've been talking about people being sick and tired of being told that there are people better than them, higher on the class structure ladder, people that have risen to the top of the heap in politics and now know everything. They're the ones who are lecturing us. We're sick of it. We're really sick of it because we look at them as the one who have made all the mess. They've made the messes. See, this is how Trump is tapping into something here. He has become a voice that so many believe they haven't had. It's the voice that represents them shouting at the television. And we go to the lines here on the Savage Nation. This is Dave, Pennsylvania, Lancaster area. How you doing, Dave? Thanks for joining us on the Savage Nation.
Hey, thanks. Listen, I'm going to talk about Mitt Romney. You know, there are people like him that are wringing their hands at Donald Trump. They created Donald Trump. We wouldn't have the situation we're in if Mitt Romney would have had the guts to run as he should have ran. And he would have been the president. Obama was so beatable 4 years ago that it was unbelievable that he couldn't beat him.
Yep. Yep, you're exactly right. And then, just to prove that the Romneys of the world created Donald Trump, look how Romney turns around after, and we've got the audio tape, you've probably heard it by now, we could replay it if we had a moment, but the bottom line is Romney in 2012 praising Donald Trump. I mean, just absolutely in the tank for the Donald. Now, how 4 years later could you turn around and basically reject everything you had to say that was glowing 4 years earlier? See, that's the kind of political stuff that people are sick of. They're really sick of it. Now, Jane's at WABC in New York. Jane, I think you're going to make a really great point to cap off this hour. Go right ahead.
Hi. I just want to say that instead of the Republicans infighting all the time and attacking each other and going after each other, Hillary's name should come out of their mouth every third word. And what's happening is the media is concentrating so much on what's going on with the Republicans that what she is doing is just being left unsaid. And where are the Republican leaders? Where is Ryan? Where is McConnell coming out every day? One thing happened to Pelosi. She went after the Republicans. She went after Bush day in and day out. And another point I just wanted to make is, I don't think all these pundits that are on these news stations, they're with the charts and statistics and all these other things.
Right.
I don't think they fully understand the depth of the...
No, they clearly don't, because they've been wrong in every corner, Jane, and I appreciate your call. Now, the elites can't figure out this Trump phenomenon, and they won't until they become honest with themselves, the leaders of the Republican Party. But you're also right, Jane, so right. Look at how Hillary's getting a free pass. Hillary earlier this week had her first press conference in 88 days. 88 days! I mean, Trump, you can't keep him away from a press conference or an interview on television. We've got more to come. I'm really glad to be here with you on this, The Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The Good Times, Brian Sussman filling in for Dr. Michael Savage, an absolute pleasure. It's great to be behind this microphone and talk with you about the issues of the day, which in this case involve the presidency of the United States of America, and some would go a step further to say the future of this nation. I am speaking to you as an observer, not as an endorser. I'm just looking at the lay of the land and making comments accordingly. I'm looking right now on TV. Mitt Romney's on, and he's defending his trashing of Donald Trump, which I just find amazing. I really do. Talk about betrayal. So here you are in 2012. You have a guy in that of Donald Trump who raises millions of dollars for you. From everything I've been able to read, Donald Trump and his family gave maximum contributions to Mitt Romney and many of his political action committees. And Trump acted as a bundler to raise what one described as mega millions for Romney, because Trump obviously didn't like Obama. Now, we can all look back and look at the Democrats and liberal Democrats at that, that Trump has supported over the years. And one can make a case, as Trump has, hey, they're easy to buy off. And I believe that. I believe that. But that might not fly for some of you. Nonetheless, he raised mega millions for Romney in 2012 because he so loathed Obama. Okay, so let's just put that over there. And after he raised these millions for Romney, we had Romney going out and just speaking glowingly. This is in Las Vegas. In fact, Robert, if we could, let's go to, this would be cut 12. So we have Mitt Romney in Las Vegas with Donald Trump, talking up Trump. Mitt Romney's running for president. And at that point in time, he was actually doing okay. Take a listen to this.
Donald Trump has shown an extraordinary ability to understand how our economy works, to create jobs for the American people. He's done it here in Nevada. He's done it across the country. He understands that our economy is facing threats from abroad. He's one of the few people who stood up and said, you know what, China has been cheating. They've taken jobs from Americans. They haven't played fair. We have to have a president who will stand up to cheaters. We believe in free trade and free enterprise, but we don't believe in allowing people to cheat day in and day out.
So that's Romney 2012. He's basically, I'm watching on the tube during the last break, he's basically refuting everything he said in 2012 as if it didn't even happen. See, this is why people are sick of politicians. Now, I will tell you, there's another story in the news. Trump has reversed his position on torture and fighting terrorism. So today he's come out saying he would not order the United States military to violate international laws to fight terrorism, which is a stark reversal from statements he made at Thursday's Republican debate. So some might say, well, he's a flip-flopper. All of these people, it doesn't matter who it is, Trump, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Kasich, it doesn't matter who it is. When you get into that Oval Office, I would hope that you're going to be flexible enough to change your opinion on certain topics, because once you get into that Oval Office, you will be able to see things that you never saw before. You'll be able to see top secret stuff. You'll be able to see really and truly how the government operates. You will have lawyers at your behest telling you what you can do, what you can't do, what you better not try. You better have some flexibility. And when it comes to making deals, listen, Ronald Reagan, back in the day, I was very young, but I remember enough that Ronald Reagan would always broker these deals that would tick off somebody. Somebody on the Republican side of the aisle, because he would give the Democrats a little too much in their mind. Listen, this is how negotiations go down in the real world and how perhaps they should go down in D.C. The problem is we have a Republican Party now who just rolls over and takes it. Not for our team, but for theirs. And then we've just got so much soup that you've got to, just muck that you've got to wade through. Everything from Trump University to bankruptcies to this to that to the other. I don't know what to make about a lot of this stuff. But there's a lot of information that's missing. I can tell you this. those who are in it for Trump aren't changing anytime too. I've met too many of these people. They listen to my program in San Francisco, where I host a show every morning between 5 and 9 a.m. That's Savage's flagship station, KSFO. I hear from the Trump supporters. They're not changing their tune anytime soon. I hear from the Cruz supporters. They love their constitutional conservative. I don't quite frankly hear from any Marcos supporters. I really don't. We had a ton of Carson supporters, of which I love Ben Carson. And as I mentioned in the first hour, that's the one check I've written this year was to Ben. He's out. A man of tremendous integrity. But when is the Republican Party going to wake up and realize, you know what? You lose these Trump supporters, especially through some kind of cockamamie brokered convention, you've lost them. They ain't voting for anybody after that. The same way I kind of believe that many Bernie supporters are. Once they realize that it's Hillary's to lose, I think they're going to sit on their hands. I do. I think they're going to sit on their hands. Then we had the story in the last hour about El Chapo, the drug kingpin, the guy that escaped prison twice. During his last escape, he's finally back behind bars, but during his last escape, he came to California twice. Now, what does that say about our border? What does that say about our border? You see, people are fed up. They want a street fighter. They want a tough talker. They want somebody that's going to be talking about the situation the same way they talk about the situation when they're watching TV and yelling at the TV in some cases. Yvonne calling from WJR. Yvonne, I understand you have lived at our border and you've seen some of these problems firsthand, correct?
Yes, I have. I am a Vietnam woman Marine. I'm 66. I've been with the government, or I retired 2 years ago, 33 years with the government. And the reason why I'm going with Trump is because everything he has said is the truth. And I lived it. I've seen it. We've caught so many illegal aliens when they had the Nicaraguan crisis down there, civil war. People were coming in trying to pass themselves off as Mexicans. It took a lot of talent for our sixth sense to realize that they were not Mexicans. We'd send them back, and next morning, we'd see them again. And it was a revolving door, and it's still like that. And since 9/11, people are still trying to get in. We need a wall down there. People that do not work in this kind of war zone of wearing the uniform as an immigration officer, Border Patrol, CBP, I've worn them all. And I worked at the U.S. Consulate, which Clinton administration gave out visas like they were candy.
So, Yvonne, here's the situation with the border. It's not just the person slipping across the border to work and pick lettuce in California. It's not the person slipping across the border to, work in a fast food restaurant. We're talking about drug lords. We're talking about gangsters. We're talking about MS-13 members. We're talking about terrorists from the Middle East. We're talking about all sorts of unsavory characters who are able to slip in here and do us great harm. I mean, you've seen it with your own eyes.
I have. Coming through the airport, they lie. They do nothing but lie. And the officer can see it, and we have to...
And you can't do anything about it.
We have to follow our supervisor, and they have to follow their people. And Washington, all they go is by statistics all the time. That's all they have. They don't work this kind of job. We work this kind of job. My daughter works this kind of job. This is cuckoo crazy in Washington.
It is. Yvonne, thanks for your call. I really appreciate you checking in here on the Savage Nation. Look at some of these other headlines we'll get into. It's just keeping with this whole theme of how people are so upset. How does this happen? How do we have, after 9/11, those guys that flew planes into buildings, the guys that only learned how to take off, never learned how to land, the guys who went to flight school in the United States of America, those guys who are here illegally, how do we continue letting people from their part of the world come over here and go to flight school? I've got one story for you that's just going to, it's going to blow your ever-loving mind. Then Guantanamo Bay. Guantanamo Bay. Okay, the president we have who wants to close it down. I got a story there that's going to blow your mind. And then regarding all these wonderful, kind, good-hearted refugees, you know how many of them are being recruited by ISIS? We'll talk about that in just a moment on The Savage Nation. And a little snippet from one of the greatest movies of all time, a movie that could never be made nowadays. That would be Blazing Saddles. I think Mel Brooks, back when this was made in the 70s, was prophetic in terms of what we're seeing today. And I will explain. And I'm glad you're here. Brian Sussman filling in on this, The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2640.
Brian Sussman, in for Dr. Michael Savage on this, The Savage Nation. We're going to talk about the news of the day, as you would expect us to, in just a moment. We'll be taking your calls as well. Of course, the phone number, 855-400-SAVAGE. Don't forget, michaelsavage.com and his new ebook, Diseases Without Borders. Michael also on Twitter, at A Savage Nation. I've been including at A Savage Nation on my tweets today as well, so you can catch up on all the latest. This is a classic movie. It could never be made today. We're just too politically correct. I'm talking about, of course, Blazing Saddles, 1970s. It's really neat when I meet you know, people today in their 20s who have seen that film and say that is the best film ever. How'd they get away with making that back in the day? Different time, different place. Mel Brooks, hilarious. He's playing the part of the governor in this clip, for those of you who remember. He's playing the part of the governor. And, you know, Mel Brooks, back then, he figured it out. These politicians, they do nothing. They just look important. And that's what we're sick of. Take a listen to this clip.
We've got to protect our phony baloney job, gentlemen. We must do something about this immediately. Immediately, immediately. Harumph, 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 harumph. I didn't get a harumph out of that guy.
Give the governor harumph.
Harumph. You watch your ass.
You watch your beep. It's true. We got to protect our phony baloney jobs. It's exactly what they're doing. And that's what Donald Trump has tapped into. The phony baloney jobs, these positions of power in Washington, D.C. That's exactly it. Now, here's something else we're ticked off about. How does this happen? How does this happen? You've got a Republican Senate. You've got a Republican House. And, of course, you've got the biggest demagogue I could ever imagine in the White House. Hillary will probably be worse than that of Barack Obama. But we have a story here from California, where I'm broadcasting from. An Egyptian flight student. He's expected to appear in immigration court today to determine whether he should be deported after being investigated by federal agents for posting threatening comments on his Facebook page about Trump, 23-year-old pilot from Cairo. Threatening Donald Trump's life. He wrote that he was willing to serve life in prison for killing Trump, and the world would thank him. Now, how in the world, post 9/11, could you just tell me, please? Post 9/11. See, this is where Trump taps into something. Post 9/11 world. The pilots that crashed into those planes, to those towers, they got their training here in the United States of America. Why do we let Muslims from the Middle East come to this country to take flying lessons? And my case in point is made in that this guy said, he's on Facebook threatening to kill a presidential candidate. Okay, that's one story for you. Here's a story. We have one of Barack Obama's Gitmo detainees that he released. You know, there was a time when we had 779 of these guys behind bars. 91 are left. He wants to get rid of all of them. So now we have the guy known as the Spanish Taliban. captured by Spanish and Moroccan officials on the North African coast. Former Gitmo detainee. What was he doing? Oh, recruiting for ISIS. There you go. These guys. And Barack Obama thinks it's actually worse to have all these guys in Gitmo because they're a recruiting tool. Guess what happens when they leave? They become recruiting tools. That is the most cockamamie, illogical line of thinking I've ever heard in my life. Yes, you got that. Oh, here we go. All those refugees that we're just supposed to coddle and love. We have the Supreme Allied Commander of Europe, in Europe of NATO, General Philip Breedlove, saying ISIS is using the Syrian refugee crisis to mask the movement of terrorists infiltrating Europe and the United States. They're coming here. They are here. He testified to the Senate Armed Services Committee. This story didn't even make it in the news. Didn't even make it in the news. I mean, it's obviously in the news. I'm reading it from the Washington Times. But did you hear it on ABCBS, NBCBS, CBSBS, CNNBS? Did you even hear this on Fox? I'm just asking the question. ISIS spreading like cancer, he said, among Syrian refugees. And he implies even the refugees coming to America. So these are some of the stories we're talking about in the Savage Nation. And of course, this dovetails nicely to the elections. Who is the best party to stop this nonsense? Better yet, who is the best candidate to stop this nonsense? We're going to hear from you. 855-400-SAVAGE. Brian Sussman on this, the Savage Nation. Goodness, what are we going to talk about? Hey, Brian Sussman here filling in on this, the Savage Nation. So let's lay it all out for you, get the table set, 855-400-7282. MichaelSavage.com, that's the website. All the top stories are at MichaelSavage.com. In fact, I will do a little perusing of the site for you right now. And let's just see some of the other stories that are taking place in this world, besides the election, besides CPAC. By the way, CPAC, Conservative Political Action Convention, is that what it stands for? CPAC. Anyway, everyone knows CPAC. It's where the conservatives of the conservatives go. The people are really fired up. They're passionate. I love these people. But now I know why, because during the break I was tuning in to CPAC to see what's going down. Now I know why Trump's not there. These are all Cruz supporters. Okay. By the way, Michael's book, ebook, Diseases Without Borders, he gives us no uncertain warning, and he has been for some time, about the Zika virus. Well, let's see here. Other stories at MichaelSavage.com. More women voted Republican than Democrat on Super Tuesday? What? Are you kidding me? But we were told all the women were for Hillary. Got another story for you. How about this? A mob of 30 migrants, chased girls through a German shopping center before clashing with the police. Migrants. I'm sure they were some of those, let me see, who's immigrating to Germany these days? Probably those migrants from, Australia. They're the Australian migrants. That's what they were, chasing the little ladies. North Korean leader Kim Jong, is he ill or Un? Which guy is he? Ill or Un? He's ill, I know that. He wants to use nukes. He wants to get him ready to fly. When is somebody going to do something about this jackass who has a country that's a prison camp? Oh, 100,000 people have signed a petition to get Bill Clinton arrested. Why? Because on voting day he was campaigning. There's video of this guy. Glad-handing everybody. He's actually in the polling place. He's not supposed to be. He's supposed to be 150 feet away. But you know what? I was just saying hi to everybody and thanking them for their participation. And, just helping out the problem. Come on. Oh, here we go. The Air Force Thunderbirds. Two male and two white. Oh, yeah. That's it. That's it. Come on. You know, I'm a guy. I'm getting older. My best friend from high school, just my greatest friend from high school, Mike, I won't mention his whole name, Mike. Black guy becomes a Top Gun pilot. The Army, the Navy, they don't care what color you are. If you can do the job, you do the job. This is maddening. Okay, let's go. Do you got any drunk callers? Maybe I could talk to a drunk caller today. Maybe that would liven up the show. No, we got people with passion. They want to talk. They want to talk about the issues. All right, let's go to Steve WJR. Steve, I was just watching the tube during the break. Here we go. Oh, but Donald Trump, he committed bankruptcy. Well, that's not the whole story, but what do you have to say? Thanks for calling.
Hey, Brian, how you doing?
Good.
I just wanted to say that, you know, they beat up on Donald Trump in Detroit here, and, you know, he's a lot like Henry Ford. Henry Ford had bankruptcies. He had a lot of failed business ventures and kept on pushing along, and he's, you know, in the long run employed and uplifted the economy in Detroit and the standard of living for thousands and thousands of people, more than any politician ever has done.
You're exactly right. Steve, I appreciate your call. That's a good point. I love to read about inventors, especially the Henry Ford, the Thomas Edisons of the world. And I've had the good pleasure here in the Silicon Valley, where I'm talking to you from, of having friends who were inventors and meeting others who have not just started companies, but have invented stuff. The inventors are very unique. They're all cut from the same cloth. I'll never forget the story of Thomas Edison, who was kind of a nutty guy, right? Now, Ben Franklin was an inventor. He was also very eclectic. But Thomas Edison, I'm thinking specifically of the time where his big warehouse, where he had all of his stuff, catches on fire. Middle of the night, catches on fire. And he runs back home. He wakes up the family. And he wanted them to get up because he wanted them to say, it's the most spectacular fire you'll ever see in your life. You've got to see this. But Edison was just like the guys I know in the Silicon Valley who have invented products that many of you, and I guess I could say we all use, without going into their names. These inventors, money to them is just an object to be used for the next invention. Generally speaking, the inventors, they don't crave money. They crave the invention. And a lot of these guys went belly up many times over. But to them, it's like, okay, I lost money. I lost everything. Let's just try again. Business people are the same way. I know a lot of people in the Silicon Valley who have been wildly successful, who have at one point or another lost everything because the company that they were so passionate about just didn't work. But then there are also investors like Trump, who take over companies or take on projects, or a Romney, to be fair. Romney was with Bain Capital. Bain Capital put together Sports Authority. Have you looked to see what's going on with Sports Authority? This just happens. Business bankruptcy is different than personal bankruptcy, completely different. So you go into a bankruptcy because, well, listen, tremendous competition, you lose market share, you overexpand, as the case probably was with Sports Authority, whatever it may be. You got to reorganize. It's legitimate. Have you noticed it's even talked about in our founding documents? Bankruptcy makes this country unique. It's not to be abused, but it really is, when used properly at the end of the day, to try work everything out best for everybody. But again, that's getting into a realm that most people don't want to care about, because if you hate Trump, you hate Trump, and you'll use that against him. Let's go to Daniel WJR. Daniel, how you doing? Thanks for calling on the Savage Nation. Brian Sussman filling in.
Good. Daniel over here, Detroit. Just like to make three quick points. I'll be brief. Every time they get on the stage to debate, you hear Ted Cruz and Rubio reminding Donald Trump that he has a clothing factory in China. This is a wonderful opportunity for Donald Trump to remind them that it's because of their failed policies, his company and many others have to leave the U.S. on a daily basis due to the highest tax rate in the world. And I'd like to just say one more thing. We elected the Republican politicians in 2012 to stop Obamacare, which, by the way, Judge Roberts ruled as a tax, the biggest tax ever put on the American people and businesses. This is one more reason why businesses have to leave the U.S. And I hear Ted Cruz, who I know is a constitutionalist, listen, I love the guy. What Donald Trump is not illustrating properly is, look, Donald Trump believes in the Constitution, too. What he's trying to tell Ted Cruz is, look, You have to be able to negotiate a position to present your case. In other words, if no one likes you, no one's going to sit down at a table and hear you present to them how wonderful the Constitution is. And if Ted Cruz could understand this, you know, like Donald Trump said, he stormed up and down the floor for 2 days. He got nothing done. Everyone went back to work. Donald Trump's not telling him to negotiate the Constitution. He's telling him that he has to be able to negotiate a position to present the Constitution in a manner which people will want to listen. And one more quick thing. We hear Obama every time he comes on the TV talking about the freedom of religion. I'd like to remind Obama he doesn't have to present that case to the American people no more. He should tell the ones that disagree with him, because the only ones that disagree with him are the Muslims. He needs to go into the mosque and start telling them. And I appreciate your time.
There you go. Wow. All right. Bada bing, bada boom. Here's Chris Wallace to Marco Rubio during the debate last night regarding Trump. How many businesses have you created? Take a listen to clip 8 right now. Clip 8 on the Savage Nation.
He has built a big company that employs thousands of people. Question, how many jobs have you created?
Well, first of all, government does... First of all, Chris... My point is exactly right. He has spent a career convincing Americans that he's something that he's not in exchange for their money. Now he's trying to do the same in exchange for their country. This is a fact. He talks about these great businesses that he's built. He inherited over $100 million.
Wrong.
And with that money,
wrong.
He's lost more money than
wrong. Here we go, the inheritance thing. You know, when Rubio goes down that road, you know what he sounds like? He sounds like Bernie. Well, he inherited all this money. He sounds like Bernie Sanders. You can't, Marco, note to self, as a conservative, you can't go down that road, dude. That's not, again, you know, Silicon Valley, San Francisco Bay Area, where I'm speaking to you from, I've met a lot of people who have inherited a lot of money from some of the biggest names in American history. And I've seen, they don't do anything. They inherited the money, they've been spending it. In fact, their parents so distrusted them, they made them trust fund kids. Because the parents knew, this guy's a slacker, he's not going to do anything, I just got to put him on a trust fund, otherwise he'll piss through it so fast, right? Come on. Can we talk here? And then I've met others who got a little inheritance from dad, or maybe a large inheritance. And they turned around and invested it and put it on steroids. I admire those people. Okay, I don't know how much Trump inherited. Trump says it's not 200 million, it's not 100 million. I've read it was a million or so. But either way, you know, there would be a lot of people who would inherit that million and say, I'm set! I'm set! Woohoo! I'm set! And they do nothing. They quit. If they ever had anything, they just become slackers. They'd live, but you know what? They have that right in this country. You want to just burn through the money? That's fine. There are others who say, no, wait a second, this million, this is cool. You know, I think if I invested this wisely, I could make this million into maybe 2 million or 10 million or, right? I admire those types of people. I really do admire those types of people. Got more calls just around the corner here on the Savage Nation at 855-400-SAVAGE. By the way, Michael Savage, who's off today, Brian Sussman filling in, he's got his newsletter. Go to michaelsavage.com to get in on that, as well as his ebook, Diseases Without Borders. Filling in on the Savage Nation, Brian Sussman, on this, the Savage Nation. Brian Sussman filling in for Michael Savage. You know, another polarizing figure besides Donald Trump, as far as the left is concerned, polarizing, although there are many Democrats, you know, moderate, sane Democrats who haven't been infected with the liberal virus that like Trump. But as far as the left goes, another polarizing figure besides Trump is Cruz. Seriously. Cruz just gave a riveting speech. I mean, he had the crowd just whipped up into a frenzy at CPAC. I just watched it near Washington, D.C. And it's the conservative political action gathering, whatever it's called. But this is where all the conservatives go, a lot of young people. So Cruz, very polished speaker, very persuasive speaker, brought down the House, talking about the military. Just talking about the military, political correctness. We're not going to have that in my military. Rules of engagement, they're going to be changed under my military. The mission's going to be properly stated in my military. Right on down the line. Josh is calling. Josh, on the air. Josh, are you there? Josh has left the building. Josh wanted to talk about Cruz and his foreign policy. Well, let's continue. Let's go to Paul. Paul, I understand you're a longtime Democrat. You've got some things to say about Hillary. Thanks for checking in.
Yeah, I'm thoroughly disgusted with Hillary and actually the whole mess of the Democratic Party. They're just they're pathetic. To allow for Hillary to allow our guys to be left over there in Benghazi, and then take no accountability for it all, and she's all smiles and it's all a big joke to her. And I'm really, really upset about that, to treat our guys like that and leave them over there hanging out with nothing, with absolutely nothing.
Paul, there are a lot of Democrats who come from a military background, Democrats who have kids serving, who are aware of the Benghazi situation, and you're right, they would never, ever, ever pull the lever for Hillary as a result.
No, and I will not. Trump's my man, and I'm staying with him. I don't care what he does. I'm so disgusted. Leaves her position to top it off. I've got nothing for her. So
at an opportune time. And Paul, so would you be one of these guys that I described earlier on the program? There are people in America, they want a street fighter. They want somebody who they believe is going to disrupt the establishment in Washington, D.C. as we know it. Are you one of those people?
I am. You better believe it. You better believe it. I'm thoroughly disgusted with the whole picture. I mean, even the Republicans who were supposed to take down Obama, you know, Obama I saw him not wearing the American.
Sean, WMAL, really quick. Sean, you're on the Michael Savage Show, the Savage Nation. Brian Sussman filling in. Go ahead, please, Sean.
Thanks for taking my call, Brian. Real quick, we're talking about visas. We're talking about immigrants. We're talking about people taken in from Syria. The people we need to remember are our brothers that fought alongside us in Iraq and Afghanistan that we left to be slaughtered. Before a single immigrant comes to this country, I want my brothers brought home. I want them brought home now.
Sean, I would agree. Anybody who helped, aided, abetted the United States of America in those efforts, they should be first in line. Absolutely. What I'm really disturbed by is the fact that you look at the numbers of Christians. I mean, these are the people. It's a genocide. I know the Barack Obama administration has a hard time saying, but it's a genocide. And the number of them that we're allowing into this country is pathetic. I mean, it's heart-wrenching. But we continue. Brian Sussman filling in on this, the Savage Nation.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Let's get going, folks. Brian Sussman filling in for the good doctor, Michael Savage. I'm broadcasting live from San Francisco, Silicon Valley area. KSFO is the station where I host a morning program with my sidekick, Katie Green. One of the most, in terms of, Michael has, as you know, Michael and I have been friends for a long, long time. Michael started on KSFO in San Francisco as a local host in the mid-90s, totally turned this radio market upside down back then. And then he went national, of course, as you know. But he has the largest streaming audience of anybody, as you know. So people listening on computer, and they tend to be a little younger. So as a result of that, we've kind of tagged on to a success. Our morning program is the largest streaming local morning show in the country. And just go to KSFO.com. You can stream us in one of the apps or whatever. But there are a lot of people who listen to Savage streaming through KSFO.com, and so they start listening to us in the morning, and we have a great time. We really do. And as a result, we're one of the highest-rated local morning conservative talk shows in the country as well, and we have a lot of fun. I think that's the key to having a great morning talk show. You've got to have some fun. You've got to keep the audience engaged, entertained, informed, keep the subject matter moving. That's why I love listening to Michael in the afternoons. And many of you are listening in the evening, of course. But bottom line is, he knows how to keep an audience. He knows how to keep the topics moving. He won't stay on one particular subject for an hour or two and lose his audience in the process. He's lively. He's lively. So that's the responsibility I have coming behind this microphone. I love it. I absolutely love it. Now, that said, a lot of the talk right now is on the debate from last night. I know many of you want to check in. 855-400-SAVAGE. I'm going to play the role of observer. 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 So I'm observing what went down last night. Megyn Kelly and Trump, I guess they were getting along okay. Megyn Kelly, I know that Michael has had some things to say about Megyn Kelly's appearance. He does a Dorian Gray thing. I can't relate to the Dorian Gray, but I can't relate to David Bowie. I swear, maybe this is a David Bowie tribute. The new look is a tribute to David Bowie. Am I? Anybody? Anybody at all? Anyway, there was a moment last night where Trump was accused of changing his position. I guess this was regarding immigration and the H-1B visas. And Megyn Kelly said, so you're going to change the website and everything? And he said, yeah, I'm going to change. I'm going to change. I've changed. What I like about anyone who is in a position of leadership is the ability to say, okay, that's not working. We need to change. I love people in leadership, business leaders especially, who look at their advisory board, their board of directors, their consultants, whoever it may be, and they're willing to listen to those people. And I would hope if you become president of the United States, you're willing to listen. The guy who becomes president, you don't know all the top secret stuff. You haven't met with the generals. You haven't met with the head of the NSA and the CIA. You haven't met with the top attorneys regarding what you can do and what you can't do. You'd better be flexible. So here's Trump talking about flexibility in clip 5, please.
I have a very strong core. I have a very strong core. But I've never seen a successful person who wasn't flexible, who didn't have a certain degree of flexibility. You have to have a certain degree of flexibility. You can't, for instance, let's say on the second question, you can't say it's okay, and then you find out it's not okay, and you don't want to do anything. You have to be flexible because you learn.
You have to be flexible in life. You've got to be. Now, I realize on some things there's a standard in that, and that plumb line cannot be moved, but you've got to be flexible on certain issues. I applaud that. I really do. We talked about this earlier, and I know many of you are just joining us right now. I understand how these audiences work. People are in and out. You got a life. I get it. I get it. But we talked about this earlier. We'll get to some of your calls in just a moment. First, they told us Donald Trump was not going to make it because, he's talked about running for president in the past. He's never going to do it. Well, he did it. June 18th, I believe it was. He announces. Then everybody says, oh, he'll drop out of the race. He didn't. Oh, let's talk about illegal immigration and enforcing the border, constructing a barrier wall. Oh, come on. That's all. He'll get off that. No, he didn't get off it in no time. That's what catapulted him to the lead. Because, and then it was almost as if he was prophetic in a sad sort of way in that, you know, he starts talking about sanctuary cities, and then we get the Kate Steinle situation. I live in San Francisco. I know about this. The place where she was murdered in broad daylight, I go by there almost every day. It's Pier 14. It's in the tourist park. It's not far from where they play Giants baseball. And that is a tourist area. Broad daylight? Sanctuary city, a guy who has been deported. Folks, this is what, I know Rubio has some things to say about immigration. I know Ted Cruz has to say some great things about immigration. But Donald got the ball rolling. And people resonate with this. Because at the end of the day, we all want to feel safe. If I want one thing for my government, it's to be limited. Another, it's to keep me safe. And with this immigration policy that the Barack Obama administration is enforcing, or the lack thereof, we're less safe. This guy's aiding and abetting the enemy, both foreign and domestic, in my opinion. We're less safe. We feel this. So when Trump talks about immigration, and he talks about the border and the wall, this resonates with a lot of people. It's like we were saying earlier, and if you're just joining us, I'll repeat myself. We want a street fighter. We want a street fighter. We want a street fighter. So then he has victories for, well, second place in Iowa. Ted Cruz gets Iowa. A second place in Iowa for a guy who's not an evangelical is pretty darn good. It proves that they're evangelicals who are not one-issue voters. They're not, you can't, the pundits like to take the evangelical and say, okay, well, you vote like this. Folks, I believe in the Bible, Genesis to Revelation. You can't, and I mean the literal Bible, Genesis to Revelation. You can't pigeonhole me like that, and I'm just like so many. So at the end of the day, okay, second place in Iowa. He'll never do well in New Hampshire. Boom, New Hampshire. Then seven wins in Super Tuesday. In places as diverse as Massachusetts and Georgia. Go figure. When's the last time somebody did that? So here's the deal, folks. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's not impossible. It is not impossible for Ted Cruz or Rubio to pull off enough of a rolling upset to deny Trump the number of delegates to win the contest. It's just not going to happen. So are we going to have a brokered convention? What's going to happen here? Maybe if Rubio gets Florida and Kasich gets Ohio and they go to the convention and their delegates vote for Cruz, maybe it could happen that way. Listen, it's very complex. But there's the establishment who fears, oh, first they feared the Cruz, now they fear the Donald. Big time. Because he is totally outside the realm of government. And the electorate is fighting back because they have a candidate who mirrors their frustration, who mirrors their anger. Let's just be realistic here. So like his style or not, Trump, who mirrors their anger. Let's just be realistic here. So like his style or not, Trump, he's Trump. He's in your face. He'll tell you what he's thinking. We've never seen anybody like that, at least in my lifetime. Maybe you can go back in history and find somebody like that, but... And what is he doing? Well, of course, you know, he does have an advantage. And again, I'm just an observer here, and I know this drives many people crazy because they think I'm obviously in the tank for Trump. I'm just... As a guy who has been in media his whole life, as a guy who's been, I was on television for many years, worked for CBS, I will just tell you, Trump gets the television medium. It's almost unfair. It would be as if, you know, we included in the requirements to become president, you got to speak Spanish. Well, guess what? Rubio's got a lock on that, and then Ted Cruz after him. Trump's not going to do well. It would be like, I don't know, golfing is a requirement in the debates. Let's see how well you golf. Well, Trump probably can beat those guys in golf. That wouldn't be fair. He owns the television medium. He owns a television show, a production company. He's been on TV forever. And what he does is he's able to draw these people in such a way that they start, well, like we saw last night, Rubio and Cruz going at it. You couldn't distinguish the two apart from one another because they were basically repeating the same lines, going after the same mode of attack towards the Donald. And when the attack's on you, it's almost like the old adage, there's no such thing as bad publicity. So what's going on here? People want a fighter. They want a street fighter. This isn't about who's the most conservative. I think this is about who is going to disrupt the establishment. We'll take your calls. Coming up on the Savage Nation, 855-400-SAVAGE. Don't forget, michaelsavage.com. Brian Sussman filling in on this, the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Brian Sussman in for Dr. Michael Savage, watching Ben Carson. He's at CPAC right now, the big conservative confab near D.C. He's expected to announce the suspension of his campaign because he just said, as I was listening, people have asked who I would endorse. So that means he's withdrawing. And can I tell you, I love Dr. Ben Carson. I was aware of this guy in the early 90s. There was a book called Gifted Hands. My children read that in school, and that's how I came to know this guy. Cuba Gooding Jr. played him in a film, also of the same name, Gifted Hands, probably 6-7 years ago. Then I saw him speak at the National Prayer Breakfast a couple years ago and just tear apart Obamacare in front of Obama, and I thought, this guy's got to run for president. So I was a supporter. I was really a supporter. He just laid out his criteria for who he would vote for, who he would endorse. I'm just going to read through the list. I've made some notes here. They must have significant accomplishments. They must have ideas and policies that are easily understood. They must treat others, including their family, well, because Carson just said that's how they'll treat Americans. He said, I need to know what they have done for America. And I need to know that they are respected by their coworkers. So that's his criteria, Dr. Ben Carson's criteria for an endorsement. So I leave you hanging there. Now, one more for you. John Kasich. He spoke at CPAC just a while ago. He got a standing ovation, by the way. Trump is not speaking at CPAC. The place is stacked pretty heavily with Cruz supporters, so that could be one reason why. But he's also, got a big event down in Florida, and he needs Florida. He's going to be in Orlando in front of like 25,000 people. Kasich has laid out a plan today for a brokered convention. So he talked about his time campaigning for Reagan in 1976 at the contested convention against Gerald Ford. This is going back in the books, so 1976, I personally don't recall this. But he said, by the way, they told me at the convention, he said, after I win Ohio, I have to win 68% of the remaining delegates. Marco has to win 64%. Ted has to win around 59% or 60%. He said that's unlikely. So he's looking at a brokered convention. They're thinking that Trump won't have the numbers to automatically get the nomination. They're looking for a brokered convention, which is what the establishment, who we've been talking a lot about on the Savage Nation, dreams of, because that way they could clear first Trump out of the way, second Cruz out of the way, and then they'll get their guy, a Rubio, and or maybe a Kasich, and then they'll get their gal, Hillary Clinton. Brokered convention is going to give it to Hillary. And I believe that's what the party elites want, because then they keep their jobs and they blame everything on you. The people listening to the Savage Nation, it's your fault. You didn't think the right way. You got suckered. You didn't vote the right way. It's your fault. That's the way they look at it. Now let's go to Rob, WJR. Rob, thanks for calling. Understand you actually voted for Obama, so who are you going to vote for this time around?
Well, I'll just tell you this. That caller you had who was a former Democrat who's voting for Donald Trump, look, I come from a family of Democrats, and I'm going to tell you, I sat in front of a TV with my children and watched the Republican Jordan, Mr. Jordan, drill Hillary on them emails. And I can't use the words, but I'm going to tell you, she don't deserve a room in the White House. She deserves a room in the penitentiary. And I'm going to tell you I'm not a Republican and I'm not a Democrat ever again. I am a Trumpist. I would rather lose with Donald Trump than win with the Democratic Party. And I'm going to tell you something else. I'm not the only one that feels that way. Sometimes you have to pull yourself out of a group name like Democrat or Republican and question yourself as a person. That man that called earlier was exactly right. When my kids looked at me and said, Daddy, did you support them? I didn't even want to answer them. I left and went out in the driveway. And I'm going to tell you, it really, really was disturbing. She deserved to be arrested right then and there. And more troublesome is that none of the other Democrats, including Obama, has called her out on what she done. That was filthy. It was murder. I don't care how you look at it. I don't care what you call yourself. If you can go to a poll and vote for that woman, it could have been my son. It could have been me. Them boys had no help, no chance of help from this woman. And I can tell you this, I'd rather die myself than to go in. I repent on a daily basis, I confess, for ever supporting them people. And I'm just sorry for the families of them people. She had the nerve to go to their coffins talking about a YouTube video. And this, listen, I'm on unfamiliar ground here. I've been a Democrat all my life. You know, I don't even like to admit it. I don't even like to admit it. And my own mother has made a homemade Trump sign and put in her front yard, who was a lifelong Democrat.
Wow. Rob, excellent call. Well stated. Appreciate you, man, for speaking your mind. No, that's what it's all about, isn't it? Brian Sussman, a pleasure. No, check that. An honor to be filling in right here on this, The Savage. Brian Sussman in for Michael Savage. Always a pleasure. We're going to get to your calls in just a moment. And, of course, the phone number is 855-400-7282. We just had Ben Carson speak at CPAC. I know that when I left off during the commercial break, he was talking about who he might endorse, which leads me to believe that he suspended his campaign. Robert's got some audio here. Let's take a listen to what just went down at CPAC. This is Dr. Ben Carson.
And I'm hopeful that maybe some people, now that I am leaving the campaign trail. Yeah. I know there's I know there's a lot
There you go. He is that man is beloved to me. I'm serious. I feel like I know him because I've been reading about him and following him literally for 2 decades. Clearly, the classiest man of them all, and I believe the wisest man of them all, has left the field. So now we're down to a brokered convention. At least that's what the elites want. That's what Kasich's hoping for. Brokered convention. Reading this story in the Huffington Post this morning, this is by Alex Narasta, talking about three, and this is at the Huffington Post, a left-leaning publication. There are at least three unexplored factors that explain the rise of Trump in 2016. None are self-serving. First, he's a brilliant entrepreneur. Well, you cannot take that. Even his harshest critic can't take that away from him. Another sign of his political acumen, or is another sign of his acumen as a political entrepreneur, his timing. His timing. You know, if you want to look at it from a business standpoint, what he's trying to attempt, what he's attempting to do here, is a hostile takeover of the Republican Party. He knew he'd never win as a third party candidate. He went in as a Republican. Hostile takeover. And see, again, going back to what we've been talking about all day long here on the Savage Nation, and what I've been talking about on my program on KSFO in San Francisco, the Republican Party needs a hostile takeover. They do. The elites, the establishment, the people running this party, what have they done for you lately, ladies and gentlemen? I'm just asking you the question. And the third driver of this outburst of populism with Donald Trump, according to this piece in the Huffington Post, is that the tide has turned on one of the main arguments they care about, immigration. Voters, folks, are increasingly acknowledging what the economists have been telling us for a long time. Immigrants, my friends, are, listen, they don't take our jobs or drive down American wages. According to Gallup, 65% of Americans wanted less legal immigration in 1995. That percentage crashed to 34% in 2015. What's happening here is we're seeing people waking up, smelling the coffee, and realizing our entire immigration policy system is broken. It needs to be fixed piece by piece by piece. And many of us would believe it starts with a wall. It starts with a wall. Let's go to, well, this will be interesting. So Tom's calling from my home base out here, San Francisco, Silicon Valley. How you doing, Tom? Go right ahead.
Good. Yeah, it's really no wonder to me that a lot of people that voted for Obama are voting for Trump, because Trump is basically using Obama's game plan to get elected, you know, and insert great for change. and people are just mesmerized by the crowds he's getting, and he does have a lot of charisma, just like Obama did. But just like Obama, he never intimated on his policies or during the whole election, even though last night they were pleading for Trump to discuss his policies and be specific, and he wouldn't do it. He just hurled insults. You know, at least Obama had a law background and studied the Constitution, and you use the word flexibility for ignorance. You know,
Tom, hold on, Tom. This is where you're wrong, and you're really wrong here. I agree with you. Donald Trump, I don't know that he's necessarily taken a page from Barack Obama, but he's doing something that Barack Obama did. He doesn't get into the specifics. He speaks in sound bites, and he stays on point, even in the debate. And as much as that may bother folks like you, I understand from a media standpoint exactly what he's doing. Now, if you want to drill down, flexibility isn't ignorance. Flexibility you need to have, Tom. You're in the Silicon Valley. You're in San Francisco. You're surrounded by entrepreneurs who realize when it comes to the art of the deal, you got to be flexible. I mean, Tom, you'll agree with that, won't you?
Yeah, but he said he's flexible when his advisors told him you can't tell your military to disobey the Geneva Convention. That's not flexible. That's just finding out that you were an idiot and you have to change your mind because of it. And also, if you don't think that Trump is going to abuse his power when he gets elected and change the White House to glass and brass and pink flamingos out front and use executive power.
Okay, now you're talking silly. You're not. Now you're getting out of the realm of a debate and a discussion, and you're going that direction. I mean, I'd love to have a discussion with you. I'd love to have a debate with you and talk about the issues. But when you go down there, there's not an opportunity to do that. Now you're sounding like Cruz and Rubio telling Trump to breathe and do yoga last night.
No, what are you talking about? I'm saying that everybody was pleading for Trump to get to narrow down his policies and explain his policies, and he couldn't do it.
Because he doesn't what, Tom? Because he doesn't what?
On the platform at the debates.
Tom, there's a website you can go to. It's called DonaldJTrump.com. Just go there. And I appreciate your call. It's very difficult to have a discussion with you. I have gone to all the websites of all the candidates because I want to know what their positions are on the issues. I mean, that's where it starts. See, again, I don't mean to sound like a Trump cheerleader. I'm trying to come at this from an objective point of view. You just heard that, you know, my guys have left the race. So I'm down to the finalists. I completely understand why people are supporting Trump. And quite frankly, I understand why people are supporting Rubio and Cruz. I'm not sure why they're supporting Kasich, but then again, not many people are. But I get it. The establishment types. And people who are a little more moderate, they like Rubio. The constitutional hardcore conservatives, they like Cruz. The people who are fed up and are sick of it want Donald Trump. Those are the three camps we have remaining. But again, if you would please, I have gone to all of the candidates' websites. That's all you have to do. And you can see the details of all of their plans. Donald Trump on his website, he gives you details on health care reform. He gives you details on trade reform. He gives you details on veterans reform, tax reform, Second Amendment, immigration, right on down the line. It's all there. But what is he doing? See, he's being very, very disciplined. I know it's hard for some of you to believe, given his language and that stupid line last night about, you know, body part sizes. That was dumb. Come on. There's no defending that. But the bottom line is he understands stay on point. Talk in sound bites. Don't get into the weeds with your policy because eyes will glaze over and what you have to say will be taken out of context. Instead, what I believe he should do is keep saying, go to my website, Donald J. Trump, which formerly was JebBush.com, by the way, which is a hilarious story. But that's all you have to do. I've been to all of the candidates' websites. I know all of their policies. They're on certain issues, they're not that far apart, quite frankly. But Donald Trump's got it all for you, and I could sit there and read from it, but, you know, then I'd go into the weeds. I'm just telling you, he, as a as a television communicator in a 24/7 news cycle that includes social media and very short attention spans. If I were advising any of the candidates, I'd say stick to your core issues, stick to the headlines of those issues, and don't diverge and get into the weeds. And for the most part, guess what? The other candidates are pretty much doing the same thing. You save those moments for your sit-downs. You save those moments for the interview with 60 Minutes. But even then, keep it short and sweet and direct them to the website. So, listen, for all of you, those of you who say, he doesn't have any, I don't know what it's, just go to his website. You can do the same thing for Ted Cruz. He's got a wonderful website, very detailed. Marco Rubio, same thing. Even John Kasich. Right there, that's all you have to do. That's all you have to do. All right. Yeah, that was interesting. That was interesting. Some other stories in the news. This is wild. I mean, I don't know, of all the positions that Trump has taken, I don't quite know where he stands on climate change. I do know where he stands on environmental issues because he has always applauded the Chinese for just going out in the ocean and building an airstrip. So I'm figuring, you know. But this is the latest that came out. This is from the Thomas Reuters Foundation, climate change. Here's the latest scare tactic. So no doubt you're going to hear Hillary and Bernie probably talking about this no time flat. Climate change could cause a half a million extra deaths on planet Earth by 2050. So by 2050, 500,000 people are going to die because of climate change. Why? Because of changes to local diets. Why would local diets change? Because we're going to run out of food. They say, according to this study, that we're going to have a reduction of 99 calories available per person per day because of climate change. Because it's just warming up. It's warming up. Now, can I, again, speaking as your meteorologist, who has written books on this, may I just say, I'll give you a couple of recent studies. First of all, we know this for a fact. Plants love CO2. In greenhouses, they pump CO2 into that atmosphere because plants respond accordingly, and it's like fertilizer. They grow fast, and they grow big. University of Montana recently had a study. Elevated CO2 levels also help not just extend growth, you know, like extend time in a season for growth, but increased CO2 helps a plant conserve water. That's increased CO2. So more CO2, actually very good for the atmosphere. But on top of that, global warming would allow for increased growing seasons whereby we could grow more food to feed the planet. Here's a study from Norway. Quote, a warmer climate would open up several exciting opportunities for Norwegian agriculture. Thermophilic, that's warm weather, crops could be cultivated farther north, and multiple harvests may be possible each summer. So when they tell you, oh, because of global warming, we're all 500,000 people are going to be dying more every year. Absolute bunk. And in fact, it's just the opposite. Warmer weather and more CO2 will allow us to grow even more food so that, in fact, we can live better, better. Let's take your calls coming up in just a moment. To round out the show on this, Brian Sussman filling in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO.
Brian Sussman filling in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. So CPAC is going on. It's the big conservative confab in Washington, D.C. A lot of young, really conservative people go there. People of all ages, but a lot of young people. It's very encouraging to see people so engaged at such a young age. The House really stacked with Cruz supporters, quite frankly, because he's the quote-unquote constitutional conservative, as you know. Kasich spoke, got a standing ovation. Kasich, by the way, today came out saying he's hoping and a praying for a brokered convention. I think he wants to be the guy. Rubio may have spoken at the convention today. I didn't hear him. We did hear Ben Carson get up, and Ben Carson basically made it official that he is bowing out, suspending his campaign. He talked about endorsements. Who would he endorse? Who would he endorse? Now, I'm a big, as I've told you, big Ben Carson fan. I absolutely love the man. And here's what he had to say when asked, okay, where should your supporters go now, Dr. Carson?
Let's make sure that we act responsibly, exercise our civic duty, and please, no matter how you feel, recognize that if we choose another secular progressive, we have done our children in, and we can't afford to do that.
Dr. Ben Carson. Now, he went a little further into this. He talked about his requirements for who he might endorse. One, significant accomplishments. That's what the person needs to have achieved, significant accomplishments. Ideas and policies that are easy to articulate. His person of endorsement would have to be known for treating others, including his family, with great respect and love. Also, what has this person that he might endorse, what has this person that he might endorse done for America? And also, how do they treat their coworkers? How are they known by their coworkers to be, you know, behind the scenes as an employer? Anyway, that's Dr. Ben Carson bowing out. So, maybe by Tuesday we'll know. I mean, Trump has the lead. Kasich wants Ohio. Rubio wants Florida. Trump's bagging CPAC in order to stay in Florida to campaign. The plot thickens. But can I just remind you, please, let's remember the real enemy here. This is what I would hope these candidates would start doing soon. Remind young voters, who were, by the way, watching the debate and who might indeed want to vote for Hillary or Bernie. They were watching the debate, sure they were, and laughing along the way. It would have been a great opportunity to educate them and say, why do you have huge student loans? Because those colleges and universities you attend have gouged you for a bad education, and they've lied to you about socialism. There's no free lunch. That's what we need to tell these kids. If government picks up the tab for student loans, that means your kids are going to be gouged even more for their education. The answer is to drive tuition prices down, which requires competition and accountability. That's the message that we need to bring forward to these young voters. Always a pleasure, always an honor.